Matthias Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Matthias Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Matthias Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is April 13th, 2017. The world is in turmoil. Most of us don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. You don't know how important it is to you, because whether or not you think there's going to be a world war or anything else like that, you could walk out in front of a car, and then once you die, then it's all over with. Your die is cast. You don't get to make up after you're dead. So if you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. And an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all this on our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Remember, prayer requests can be sent by United States Postal Service and by email with your return address and your phone number to call you back. These requests will be taken to Wichita Mission Church, anointed with oil, prayed over, and sent back to you at your request with no solicitation for donations. Now remember, we're a national satellite radio program which is simulcast live on the net internationally, live on YouTube and on some FM stations, so pray about supporting airtime. Now all these things, airtime isn't free. This program sells nothing, and no matter, those sponsors you hear out there aren't my sponsors. Those are station sponsors. So we don't sell anything. So pray about supporting airtime. On another note, let's thank our listener base. That is places like San Diego, Chile, Brussels, Belgium, Tokyo, Japan, Milan, Italy, Auckland, New Zealand, and of course cities in the good old United States such as Aurora, Illinois, El Paso, Texas, Bakersfield, California, Newark, New Jersey, St. Louis, Missouri, Washington, D.C. These are just to name a few, of course. But let's not forget Wichita, Kansas, which remains the largest group of listeners to our programs, at least when they podcast later on tonight. I ask you to pray, you folks over there in Wichita. We are, what we do at the Wichita Mission Church, these are your neighbors. If nothing else, donate some clothes. Come and check us out. Bring a sack of groceries. Bring some eggs. We go through anywhere from 9 to 15 dozen eggs a day. So pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church, all of you. Really, really pray about it. Now prayer will bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not our will. And please, Father, give everyone in ears out there and wish to hear the truth. So please, Father Yahweh, bless this program tonight in your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name. Amen and amen. Well, you've heard us talk in the past weeks about Bible codes. I don't know about you, but I am fascinated with this process. I first checked them out about, clear back in 1999, when I heard about code research, but I couldn't ever do anything with them. But we keep, anyway, with this project, with the man that we're working with, or watching him do the work, rather, the Bible codes that keep coming up, he ran this code called Ancient Evil, and that search keeps bringing up more and more and more. So tonight, we're going to revisit the Ancient Evil Bible codes. So we're going to bring back on with us Tom Mack, who is a school principal, owner at White Cottage publishing company. He lives in Trinidad, Colorado. He's an A-plus certified computer technician, a net certified network technician, as well as a book designer, and webmaster. In the past, he's even been an airport administrator. That would drive me crazy, I think. IT manager and controller. We should also mention that at one time he was also a tax specialist. I bet a few of you could use that at once in a while. Anyway, he is not some fly-by-night person, and he is very well suited to doing Bible codes. And he's a very credible witness. Tom started his research with Bible codes, I think here, and it says in 1996, and that's 20 plus years of code research. So tonight we go further where the codes just may be leading us, and yes, it sounds like what? An adventure. Welcome now, Tom Mack. Are you there with me, Tom?
Yes, I am with you. Thank you very much for having me on.
Amen. Well, is it normal for the codes to keep going this far?
Excuse me?
Is it normal for when you do code research for it to seem to keep going as far as this code has went?
I've had that happen a few times. You know, if you look back on my website, BibleCodes.co, you'll see the key codes, because I was asking the question, what do these beasts mean in Daniel? You know, every scholar, I think, has taken a shot at it. But it was always conjecture, theory, ideas. But really, what does the Bible really say? But when we were able to crack open the codes with the computers, which we couldn't do until about, 1988? Finally, when the 386 chip came out and it had enough computing power that you didn't need a mainframe computer to do it, suddenly we had capabilities. And probably the biggest one that has led this movement has been Dr. Elihu Ripps, who's I think he's still a professor at Hebrew University. He's getting up there in years, so I wonder if he hasn't wandered onto the emeritus faculty, which is what happens to professors after they retire. That way the school can grab them and they can teach a class here and there when they run short.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you a question. You put a time, when computers came about, but for the record, for the people, code research has always been there, clear back among the rabbis, way back, hasn't it?
And if you read Josephus, you get the impression the prophet prophet Zacharias started it. Over the years, I've grown to see just how brilliant a man Zechariah was. Yet, when it comes to the prophecy books of the Bible, Zechariah is the one that doesn't get studied. Or if they do, they grab something and run on. Or they grab something because it fits what they believe or what they've set their body of knowledge to be. But that's not being fair to Zechariah. He's been and it's one of those things. In fact, one of the music pieces I do is from Zechariah 12.
Now, for the record, you mentioned music. While you're mentioning music, you have a website for music. What's that website?
Okay, that is themusicofheaven.com. And all the music on there is download. You can download it for free. I had a CD for a while, but I felt bad about charging for what God has given me. You know, freely given.
Well, amen. I truly understand that. And now with computers, we're better aligned to be able to give away research or music or something. But in defense of a lot of people, you know, not everybody is rich enough to give it. And it stumps your research by not producing it and putting it out because, it's called access. And a person isn't always, might have did some wonderful research, but they are not well off enough to distribute it, you know, hugely. And so with the selling of DVDs and books and things like that, it's a good purpose also. It can be bad, but it can also be good. Back to you.
I don't mind if, you know, I have a lady friend who sings and she sells CDs and I have no problem with it. And she does Christian music and I, you know, I don't have a problem with it. It's part of how she makes a living.
Yeah.
So I'm not, you know, but to me the internet is there. It's given me the chance to hand things out freely. And, you know, I've always had the money I've needed. Sometimes I wish I had more, but don't we all? But, you know, I have a system set up, so I'm literally running about 15 sites right now. And we could spend the rest of this hour going through all the sites I have.
Well, then that might take away from our code research. Let's back up a minute. You mentioned Daniel and the Beast. You caught my attention. Why did you find something specific about Daniel and the Beast in the code research?
Oh, yes. In fact, that's one of the biggest sections I have on my website. And I call it the key codes. Because in the codes, you find all the... You find what they mean, when they're doing it. One of the first things it showed me was that the four beasts are actually operating all at the same time. I thought it was one right after the other, and that's what most prophecy teachers would tell you. But the code said, no, they're all running at the same time. They're all doing their thing at the same time. Because we have Russia going, we've got China going, we've got Great Britain and America going. And eventually, and over that, the terrible beast, and this is one I didn't get it for a long time because I didn't know what I was looking for. I was looking for another country, and I was wrong. The reason it's terrible is because you can't see it, you can't feel it. It doesn't take up a bunch of land. It's sort of like this deep state everybody's talking about now.
Mm-hmm.
Here it is. It's right on top of us. It's ruling us. It's telling the other three what to do. And the other three are stymied by it. And that's why it's a terrible beast, as Daniel put it. And he put a lot of emphasis on that adjective, terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And you're seeing that. You're seeing a world government that has emerged. But it isn't, say, an Antichrist-type person. You know, they tried that in World War II, and you saw Hitler worked out in the end.
Right.
Finally, they had to, in 43, after Stalingrad, they literally pushed him out, made him a figurehead, and Martin Bormann took over.
Right.
And that's a whole story. And I would suggest if people want to study that story a little more, the History Channel put out a series called Hunting Hitler. And they've done two seasons now, and I understand they're working on a third. And it became pretty apparent. When everybody was chasing Hitler back in the late 40s, 50s, until he died in 62, they were chasing the wrong guy. He was a figurehead. Bormann set him up so that everybody would pay attention to him while Bormann did everything behind the scenes.
A lot of people do not know, haven't, you know, that shows you how most people haven't scratched below the surface of things. You know, it's like floating on top of the lake without seeing what all's down in the lake. There's just so much below the surface. And, you know, one of the things, you know, Hitler was a madman, you know. He was a speed freak and a number of other things. But he really didn't have the mental capacity to do the things that was happening at the time.
Well, as a military officer friend of mine explained to me one time, he said he had the mentality of a corporal. He did not have the mentality of an officer. Because an officer would see that going into Stalingrad like he did was foolhardy. Better just to keep the pressure on the Russians and wait for them to crack, which would have happened probably in another year if they would have just stayed where they were at and kept going. And that's what Hitler's generals told him to do. But they didn't listen. And I thank the Lord that he didn't listen.
Yeah,
we'd probably be speaking Germany. We'd be speaking German right now.
Well, I don't think, you know, but my whole thought of the thing is that it couldn't have happened because it wasn't time for that type of entity to take over the planet. And so there's no way.
And I don't think they will ever go to the Hitler model again. Because that's why in Revelation you do not see the word Antichrist. And I find that very interesting. John mentions Antichrist in his books, you know, in his epistles, but never once does he mention it. I don't want to give John all the credit for writing Revelation. I think John Mark wrote a good bundle of it, and we know that because Paul talked about it. And he talked about, you know, gave a real quick summary of everything that was going on in Revelation. And I think they had Revelation in 60 AD, but they couldn't publish it because the person who did it was beheaded. And in Roman law, if you are beheaded or executed, your name is blotted out for 30 years. That's why it didn't appear until 90 AD. They don't understand that when you are executed, your name is blotted out. And if you mention the guy's name who was executed, you get the same treatment the guy who was executed did. So they weren't messing around with it. That's why you didn't see the Gospels appear until about 60 AD. Because Jesus was executed, that meant his name was blotted out. If you mentioned his name, that's why when the apostles mentioned his name in preaching, what did the Pharisees tell him? Stop. You can't do this. And they weren't just saying it because they were mad at Jesus. They were saying it because they knew Roman law. And so a lot of these writings, the reason there's such a delay is because basically getting killed isn't going to preach the gospel.
Well,
now, there's to a point with martyrdom. So what happens, we've seen these four beasts, and we look at this fourth one, and Daniel says he's completely different from the others. And I didn't take him at his word when I first started this.
Mm-hmm.
But when I did, and I started just saying, okay, Lord, what's here? What am I not getting? I started to see it. I started to see that this is not a physical country. It's not a batch of land. It is a covering. It's like a monster that rules over and above all these countries that is now pushing them. And it shows up, and if anybody tries to fight it, what happens? They end up in a lot of trouble, and we've seen what happened to Libya.
Well, not to interrupt, but that's what we're having right now with Trump. Deep state, people talk about deep state like you brought up, and I brought the name up before, but deep state is CIA. Deep state is still goes back to the same thing. It's controlled by the globalists, through the globalists. The globalists are the Illuminati. That is a beast that is trying to control the earth. That these illuminated ones are trying to take power. And when you buck up against it, that's just what Trump's problem is right now, is he hit flat up against their agenda of a one world place, and he's messing it all up. And so that's why he's having such a problem. Back to you.
Yes, and, you know, we have the thing that started us down some of the roads we've gone down, like Typhon, is because we did another Trump assassination code, which is on the website. And what we found in there, these people aren't going to quit trying to assassinate him until about 2022. And
you found some other importance with that date.
Yes, and I start saying to myself, why is it? And then I got the word star. And I'm going, wait a minute. And I go back to Olaf Hagee's research. He's talked a lot about a star. And so does the Book of Revelation in chapters 8 and 9. They call it Wormwood in Revelation. But the ancients called it Typhon, which was named for the last god Pharaoh of Egypt in the first dynasty. And Typhon is literally means the judgment of God. And every time Typhon has shown up on the earth, like in the flood, in the great flood, we saw a judgment. We go to Joseph's time, and they had a great famine. One of the things that Typhon does is it spreads an evil diamond dust. And when that comes, you can't grow anything on the ground. So you have a famine. And not only, it also poisons the water, so you can't drink it.
Okay,
and
let's do this. We're getting ready to go to a break in a minute, but first, when we come back, we need to explain more for the people that aren't looking at, that have not looked at Typhon, like your code says, star comet, and let's explain where that's in Revelation, and then let's go on and talk some more about it, because, you know, people, biggest thing I realized about radio is not everybody knows what I'm talking about when I think they might. You know, anyway, give your main website and we'll go to break.
Okay, the one I've been mentioning is BibleCodes.co. That's BibleCodes.co. And CO for Colorado, where I'm from, not com. And this is, as I say, this has been fascinating. And it's taken me on a little trek here, and it's not going to end real soon, I can guarantee you. It's going.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we got to go. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, I really want to strongly encourage you to go over to American Voice Radio and look at all the different ways that we are listened to, and that's before it even goes to podcast. So go over and check it out, and they got a lot of great programs at AmericanVoice.com. Now, We want you to pray tonight about a donation for the Wichita Mission Church. You see, at the Wichita Mission Church, we are in one of the worst places where the worst of the worst is. I mean, where did Yeshua came? I mean, he came to the lost, so what more else could I do? We are there, we're all called to evangelize and bring people into the assembly. He said, go out into the world, not wait until they come to your assembly. He said, go out. You know, let me tell you, a sinner is going to walk by your church a million times before he ever comes in, so to speak. But if you go out on the street and meet with him and talk with him, you know, you've got a good chance, besides there's other ways to minister to people. You show them your love and your kindness. You show them, I repent. Show them Yeshua's love and Yeshua's kindness, because that's who's supposed to be working through you. Show his love and compassion towards them, and they'll know that you're different and set apart different. And they're going to want to know, well, why are you different? What makes you different than others? And that is a way in. So be there for the people. You know, on that note, we could right now, folks, a lot of you are wanting to know how to help. Large print King James Bibles. You know, they're generally pretty cheap. In some cities, you can get them for as cheap as $10. Others, like if you go to Sam's, you can get a real nice one for $15 with a good letter flex type cover on it. And these Bibles endure, but they have large print. Why large print? Well, first off, don't be fooled by a lot of these things that tries to sell you a 10 font as being a large print. It's not. But why do we want large print? We want large print Bibles because a lot of people in the street, you know, and a lot of poor people, they don't have insurance, so if they break their glasses, they can't just run down and get another pair. And so it makes it hard to see. At least we give them a fighting chance when we hand them a large print King James Bible. And no, I don't trust a lot of the newer translations, but it also makes it easier to Bible study a group of folks. We say, okay, everybody got their Bibles, and you pull out your Bible and everybody's on the same page. King James Bibles are cheap and they're still good. I was, by using a King James Bible and a strong concordance, that's how I learned what was in the Bible. Absolutely. So try that. Okay. Anyway, but we also need help for food, clothing, all sorts of things. Pray about a donation tonight, because we really do need your help. Pray about it. And I pray all you folks out there are still having a good feast, as we are still in the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So we pray that you repented and got all the sin out of you and got all the leaven out of your house, and that you're just having a great feast, because we sure are here at Messiah's Branch and at my household. Anyway, we are the last hope for many folks, and we are responsible to care one for another as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. If you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime, as it's not free. And donations is what keeps us on the air. Remember, we sell nothing, and you can donate online or by mail, a check, or money order, or call me, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com, which is our radio hub. And now we're back with Tom Mack. Are you still there with us, Tom?
Yes, I am.
Well, I'm so glad to have you on. Now, before we went to break, you started talking about the Typhon codes. So I asked you to explain about what that was.
Okay, Typhon, I didn't really know what it was, you know, except for what my friend Olaf theorized what it was. And he's part astronomer, so, you know, a lot of his words were technical. I decided we got to find out what this thing is from the Lord. So I started running Typhon in the codes. And it turned out to be a combination star comet. That's why every time it visits, it creates such a mess. Every time it visits, we suddenly are having cataclysms. We're having huge rains. We're having plagues. We're having starvation. We're having tidal waves. You know.
So wait a minute. So you say every time it visits. So this star comet Typhon has been here before?
Yes, it has. The last time was about the 7th century. We don't know exactly when, but we know one thing happened for sure. King Arthur's kingdom up and disappeared. Here was a flourishing kingdom, and suddenly, boom, it's gone. Well, a lady by the name of Norma Laurie Goodrich found out it was because of a tidal wave that practically wiped out all of what is now Wales in Great Britain. Wales is the westernmost country on the main British Isle. And this tidal wave literally wiped out a kingdom.
Wow.
I have some theories about that, or a few more, but we don't have enough time for that. And you can read some of that on the website.
Right.
Now, from what we're seeing, Typhon is coming again, probably in the next decade. And we're already starting to see signs of it. One of the biggest signs you see is fireballs. That's why in the summer we have such terrible forest fires out here in the mountains of Colorado. And you can't figure out where they come except they're fireballs.
Mm-hmm.
And people have reported fireballs here by the boatload. And then these fires are problematic. My own physician got run out of his house a year ago by a fire that was caused by a fireball. And it's,
absolutely. Let me say this. In the last, I'm going to put my finger on it and try to say 5 years. In the last 5 years, there's been a dramatic increase of things coming in and burning up in the atmosphere, which, you know, I don't want to say there was either a meteor or this and that, because they, you know, they really can't pinpoint it. Even the one in Russia where blew out all those windows in that city. We're seeing a huge increase in that. But right now, before we went any further, somebody gave me our producer gave me a question during break time that he wanted me to ask you. And I also wanted, it goes back to that 2022 date. Is that when you're seeing that about Typhon? But this is what he says. So does them stopping Trump to assassinate him in 22 mean that he prevails or that they succeed?
I think more likely, suddenly, once you have Typhon hitting and causing all sorts of havoc in this world, suddenly Trump isn't such a big deal anymore. They're trying to save their own skins. Look at the book of Revelation. They hide in caves, trying to hide from...
So that opens it up.
They're scared.
So that opens it up. So then that's what you're saying, that Typhon looks like it's going to come in 2022, possibly.
Yes. Well, you know, that's one of the things. Typhon, some people would say it's already here because of all the fireballs we're seeing.
Right.
But, you know, I think one of the things that's happened is these movies have given us almost a wrong impression of what it's going to do. You know, I think the most famous one was 2012. I'm trying to remember the guy that starred in it. He's now broke. And
I don't remember. I know who you're talking about, but I can't place it. We also had the one Deep Impact. That was also another movie. But let's go on back to this. So this Typhon code that you keep reading, there's a lot in here that it brings up. If we were to look into the Book of Revelation, is there a place that kind of points to?
Yes. Let's go to Revelation 8 here. I'm going to get out my computer Bible here. I have a free one. It's called eSword. it is really...
I like East Swords, all right. I like it, and it has so many variations, but I made this mistake of getting hooked on this Logos Bible from way back in... I don't know if you remember, and it's just such a perfect Bible, and I have to even put a computer in my computer to run it because it won't run no more. And on a, you know, what do you call it, 64-bit, it won't run on 64-bit. But you
right.
can just hover the thing over, and it brings up the concordance and everything, and it reads like a book, and I just love that Logos Bible. But, you know, I'm going to eventually probably be going to East Sword. Back to you.
Okay, let's go to Revelation 8:10.
Okay.
And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers, and upon the fountains of the waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became Wormwood. And many men died of the waters, because they were made bitter. Now, this is a pretty serious situation.
Sure it is. That's a pretty serious place there in Revelation. I have another comment. I know somebody is dying to ask me this, so I'm going to ask you this first, and then we'll go on. A lot of people are probably saying, I wonder if he's talking about Nibiru, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah.
Yes. The sad thing about Nibiru, or Planet X, as they like to call it, is it's a... No, I want to give it credit to Zachariah Sitchin.
Mm-hmm.
But the trouble with Zachariah Sitchin is he said... Now, he's not here to defend himself, so I'm sort of... How would you call it? Sort of hesitant to say too much. But he... promised that the Anunnaki would come help us before it came. Whereas we don't see anything like that in the Bible. And if they came, I wouldn't trust the word they said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would, because...
Well, absolutely. But we don't want to deal too much with him. I want to go on and hear what all you have to say about this, you know.
Okay. Well, let's look at the next scripture. It goes, when you get to Revelation 9:1, here's another one, another star. And that was the thing Olaf always said, is Typhon comes in two parts. So we have the first one that messes up our water. But here comes the second one in Revelation 9:1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. It means it's going to bust something open.
Mm-hmm.
And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men who have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Boy.
Let me say something here. And the fifth angel saw a star fall from heaven. Do you know that in Bible, sometimes a star actually represents an angel?
Right. And that could very well be, but it's...
Well, because it says it opens the bottomless pit and was giving key to the bottomless pit. And I guess it could be, you know, I do agree, though, however, that... I don't know about twos, but I know that comets and those type of things tend to come in clusters because they break apart and gravity holds them together. So if you see one hit, you're liable to see more than that. Back to you.
They've tracked about 2,000 comets in our solar system. But this one is not a standard comet. It's not made of ice. That's why the word star is used in connection. It looks like a comet coming in, and a lot of people will be fooled by that. And basically what a comet is a star with hair. If you go back to the ancient Greek. And that's the other thing that I find interesting is John used the word star when the word comet was available to him. He did not use it. And John Mark is not just your average guy. He was a scribe, just like Paul was a scribe. They were from the tribe of Benjamin. All they did was work with scrolls, with copying scrolls, because you know they didn't have Xerox copiers in those days. You had to copy every one. You had to copy every one manually. And so when we look at these things, we are talking about people who are very literate for their time, probably more literate than our scholars are today.
Mm-hmm.
And so they know the Greek language because that was commonly spoken in governmental circles in that part of the world. Everybody spoke Aramaic among each other, but all the legal stuff was done in Greek. If you went to court, it was in Greek.
Right.
That's why you had to have a lawyer in those days. You couldn't just walk into that court and when you used to speak in Aramaic and suddenly have to speak Greek. So you had to have a lawyer represent you.
Right.
And so it's what we're looking at is we're looking at devastation, and as we go through the codes, we begin to see more about this devastation. We see the diamond dust. Another interesting thing I found in there is that these New World Order people are trying to manipulate it. And they're calling on certain gods to get this job done.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, if there's any person who could fit the category of a Antichrist personality, it would be Cain. If you look through your King James Bible, it does not say he ever died. I wondered about that. And when I start seeing him in these codes, I mean, realize it. And especially this one I'm looking at right now. The name Cain has a skip rate of 18. That's a little interesting. Also, this code, in fact, Cain appears in a lot of these really negative codes that I do when we're trying to discover what's happening here.
Well, you know, let's dwell on Cain a minute, I almost called him the undead, but he would indeed be undead, as we would say. But I didn't want to connect to, you know, those other undead that they have on TV. You know what I'm saying? But
the vampires.
The vampires, the undead, and I think they are even using the same terms for zombies also. So, you know, skipping all that for a moment, I want to focus on this and see what you have to say. I brought it up to you before, but I want to bring it up to the people. You know, when Yeshua arose, there was a lot of people that rose from the grave with him. They're never mentioned again in the Word. I've searched for them in the Word, looking for them. I've asked the question of people where they went. And, of course, you have people that say, oh, they ascended with Yeshua. The Word doesn't say that. If they did that, I think it would have said that. Then you have Cain. We have examples of people in the Word, folks, that we can give no excuse to where they're at. The only thing that they could be is they could be alive. Back to you.
Okay. Let's go to the book of Mark. You know, we talk about some of these things and everybody's saying, oh, you guys are just theorizing. No, we're not. We're going to go to the book of Mark here in a second. And go to verse 1. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, meaning this is important, guys, that there'll be some of them who stand here in the first century looking at Christ, listening to him, which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. These people were alive when Jesus was. They're still here today. I believe the two witnesses we talked about last time are examples of that. And I looked through the Bible. I saw, yeah, it says witness in the English. I said, well, maybe they took a little bit of a liberty. So I looked it up in Greek. It says witness. Then I thought, they screwed it up. Let's go to Aramaic. That's a little closer. It says witness. And if there's anything I've learned over the years, the Bible says what it means and means what it says. It says witness. These guys have seen Jesus die. They have seen him raised from the dead. And probably the biggest thing is they're going to have documentary evidence.
Yeah.
That's going to make all these religious people go crazy.
I love to make religious people crazy because their problem is they're following doctrines of men instead of following the word. And so anything I can do to throw a bomb in their lap is just fun.
And these guys, they've been doing it for centuries. And one of the things Allah found out, and I'm now following with him. I wish he was here so I could ask him a few questions because he's researched this for 30, 40 years.
Right.
And he found out these two guys that are alive are both relatives of Jesus. Joseph of Arimathea was his adopted father. So that, because Jesus was born of Joseph, what's wrong with Joseph ascending the throne of Israel? He's from the Jeconiah family. And Jeremiah cursed that family and said they would never ascend to the throne. That's why the book of Luke does Mary's, and by virtue of Mary, Joseph, because Joseph was also her brother. Joseph of Arimathea was Mary's brother, Jesus' uncle, and he was also, if you read in antiquity, he was a very wealthy man. He was the commissioner of mines in that part of the world. So he had wealth. So when Mary had Jesus, he adopted her, and it says so in the book of Luke. And what happens is that gives him another line, because Mary came through not through David, but not through Solomon's line, but through Nathan's line, who was also a son of David. And because the Jeconiah line can't ascend the throne, you have to go to Nathan, which is the next son down. And that's how he ascends. But he truly cannot ascend until these two witnesses are dead. And that's going to happen in Revelation 11, when the beast finally kills them. Then Jesus can ascend the throne. That's why these two witnesses are still alive.
Let's go with this real quick. You read from, somebody wants to know, you read from Mark what?
9:1.
Anyway, we're actually, you know, we always have such a wonderful time. We're going to have to book a couple of programs back to back. You keep opening new things. I mean, you know, people keep wanting to, like this. This is a whole research study in itself to talk about these, we go back to that word, undead people walking around, these people that are still alive in Yeshua's day into this day and even further back. So, you know, we're going to have to keep going with this, brother. But now we're out of time. So please give your main website. Yeah, it's like 4 minutes till, so I got to get you out of here so I can get out of here. Tell them how to find you.
Okay, for what we've been doing here tonight, BibleCodes.co. That's BibleCodes.co. If you want to write me, just tom.mac@stonefoundation.org. That's WhiteStoneFoundation.org. Also, my main website is WhiteStoneFoundation.org. And we have a lot more than just Bible codes. So.
Okay, well, thanks for being on.
Short on time.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'm sorry, but thanks for being on with me, brother, and we'll talk again. And it keeps the people
interested. I look
forward to it. All right, you be blessed. Bye-bye. Well, folks, pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. Remember, test all things that you hear. You know, go and research some of these things and see what he's doing. He has a lot of information out there, so go check it out. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. But remember, there is only one God, and he is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always be what? A blessing to others. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that Father, that you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.